Well, we're now in week two of considering our core values here at Kelsey Creek Church. When we started last week, I said that our core values are not an exhaustive list of everything that we believe, but rather they're a series of kind of core commitments that help us clarify how we want to put our mission and vision into practice. Now, if you weren't here last week when we looked at core value number one, which is Jesus is the center, don't worry. You can actually catch up on last week's sermon. You can find it on our website. You can also grab a copy of a handout on the way out. You'll find these out there, which have details about all four of our core values, including the core value that we're going to talk about today, and that is we are committed to spiritual formation. Also happens to be the title of this sermon. Now, the good news is, as I said in our announcement a minute ago, this is something that you have embraced and we have been actively putting into practice for the last 5 months, which means you may be asking yourself, well, if we're already doing this, why are we talking about it? Well, we're talking about it because spiritual formation is not something that you accomplish and then move on to something else. Spiritual formation is actually an ongoing effort. It is a lifelong journey. It is a continual call to make Jesus the center of your life and our shared life so that God might form us for his purposes and use us for his purposes. That's more or less what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, which I invite you to turn to now in a Bible or on your mobile device. Now, when we started talking about spiritual formation 5 months ago, we defined it as seeking God in order to be changed by God so we might be used by God for his purposes. That definition still very much applies, but because the Apostle Paul has a tendency to put things in very practical terms, we're going to consider the words that he wrote today, Romans chapter 12. We're going to consider these words that God spoke through the Apostle Paul. Invite you to join me in reading Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed each of you. For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the words we just read come at a pivotal point in this epistle to the Roman, this letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church. After 11 chapters of really unpacking the mystery of God's mercy, Paul turns his attention to our response to God's mercy. And he basically says, in light of all of that, here's what you should do. Of course, when I say our response, I don't mean to suggest that Paul wrote this letter to us. Spoiler alert, he didn't. He wrote it to Roman Christians, first century followers of Jesus in the city of Rome. But Paul's words apply to us. That's because these words that God wrote through the Apostle Paul apply to everyone who is trying to put God's mercy into practice. Of course, these words also apply to us collectively. And I say that because there are a number of important plural terms in this passage. You can look at it with me. Brothers and sisters is plural. So is bodies. So are all of the yous. This would be much easier to see if Paul was from Texas rather than Tarsus. Well, you'll have to take my word for this. But if Paul were from Texas, he would basically be saying, I encourage y'all to offer y'all's bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of y'all's mind. Then you will be able to approve God's will. Of course, there are these plural terms, but there's also some important singular terms, and they actually work together. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, plural, y'all, to offer your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice. Singular. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, plural, mind. Singular. I don't want to bore you with Greek syntax here, but I do want you to see the significance of what Paul is saying. Paul is essentially saying that spiritual formation is a shared enterprise. That it's a group project. Or as N.T. Wright says, it is a team sport. You can't do love, peace, patience, gentleness, and so on all by yourself. Now, Paul will unpack what it means to do this in a community as a body for the next 19 verses, and we're going to look at all those specifics in just a minute. But before we jump into the specifics, let's make sure that we understand the starting point here. Starting by the fact that no one can follow Jesus for you. Like, every one of us has a call to individually follow Jesus. It's just that we aren't asked to do that by ourselves. We follow Jesus personally, but we do so in the context of those whom God gathers around us. We do this together. And we actually have to do it together if we're actually going to do this thing that Paul is talking about. And we have to do it together if we're actually going to know the will of God. Paul says, then you, plural, will be able to test and approve what God's will, singular, is. I'm assuming you want to know what God's will is, right? Do you want to know what God's will is? I see a few heads nodding. I'm sure the rest of you are nodding on the inside, right? Yes, we want to know what God's will is. We actually want to know what God calls us to. What is it that God wants for my life? How do I experience the peace of God in my life? Paul says we do that by collectively following Jesus together, by gathering as a body. Now, the body actually is a helpful metaphor. In fact, Paul used it to describe the life of the church, but I actually think it's also a helpful metaphor for understanding the concept of spiritual formation. Because spiritual formation happens a lot like physical formation. And you know how physical formation works, right? It happens all the time, including when you're not paying attention to it. Physical formation is happening to your body all the time, and the only time that you probably think about it is when you go in for your annual physical and the doctor makes you step on a scale. Or maybe you visit some family over the holidays, some family who you haven't seen in a while, and they call attention to it, like happened when my family traveled to Alabama for the holidays. My grandmother said to one of my boys, "Wow, you thickened up." Now, he actually took it as a compliment because he's been spending time in the gym. But the principle still applies. In fact, it made me remember back when I flirted with a freshman 15 and my grandmother said the same thing to me. Or she said it about herself when she put on the COVID-19 back when we all had to stay inside for most of 2020. Physical formation happens all the time, and it often goes unnoticed unless we're intentional about physical formation. Unless we're intentional about what we put into our bodies and what we do with our bodies. It's actually the same with spiritual formation. It's happening all the time. It's just that most of the time, it goes unnoticed. And I think that's because we often fail to realize just how much the everyday things of life are actually shaping our souls. This is something that James K.A. Smith of Calvin University writes about in his book, You Are What You Love, where he says that we should be mindful about the things of everyday life that are actually shaping our souls. And he's talked about a lot of examples, but two of the primary examples that Smith talks about are that of shopping malls and smartphones. And yes, shopping malls are giving ground to online shopping every day, but the point still applies. And Smith makes the point that we are constantly being sold a vision of the good life that says you are what you own, or you are how you look, or you are who is or who isn't interested in your life, usually by following you online. And if you aren't careful to pay attention to how these things are shaping your soul, that you may end up being formed into something other than the purposes of God. You may be shaped to become into a consumer of goods rather than as a disciple of the good, as a disciple of Christ. Of course, Smith makes the point that it isn't just smartphones and shopping malls that are doing this, that everything in our lives is doing this, including lots of good things, whether it's school or sports, news or Netflix, friendships, or a million other everyday things. These things all actually begin to shape us. These things all impact our souls. These things actually spiritually form us. Now, the remedy is not to remove ourselves from these things. In fact, we can't remove ourselves from most of these things. In fact, many of these things are really good gifts that we should receive. And so the remedy isn't just to isolate and to take these things out of our lives. The remedy is to be intentional with these things in our lives. And to be intentional about the other things that balance them out and actually speak true things to us. This is something that both Smith and the Apostle Paul say. That we should be intentional about what we allow into our lives, and we should be intentional with what just simply comes into our lives. That we should be intentional about the values that are being cultivated and the habits that we're developing and the people that we do all of the above with. In other words, we should be intentional about spiritual formation. Here's how Paul puts it. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In other words, don't let the everyday stuff of life, even the good stuff, squeeze you into the mold of the world. But be intentional about being shaped for God's purposes. Submit to God's will. Ground yourself in God's word and put this into practice with God's people. And the good news is Paul tells us how to do that in the next 19 verses. He says, here's how you actually begin to practice that as a people. And he starts in verses 3 through 8 and he says, it starts with recognizing the ways that God has gifted you. Figure out what your spiritual gifts are and put those to work serving other people. If your gift is encouragement, then encourage. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's showing mercy, then show mercy. If it's giving, then do it generously. On the one hand, we're all to do all of these things because all of these things reflect the will of God. But on the other hand, each of us has specifically been gifted in unique ways. And we should specifically be at work in all of those ways. Use your gift for the benefit of others, for the building up of the church, for the blessing of the world. Paul then says in verses 9 through 16, love each other. Be devoted to each other. Be in harmony, that is, at peace and with unity with each other. Rejoice with each other. Mourn with each other. Share with each other. Be sincere. Practice hospitality. Be humble. Be patient. Be prayerful. Unless we think this is an easy to-do list, Paul says this at the end of the chapter, verses 17 to 21. Love those who oppose you. Bless those who curse you. Trust that God will be just in the end. In other words, you don't have to retaliate. Let God be just in the end. As far as it is up to you, be at peace with all people. You do what is right, even if other people aren't doing what is right. None of those things that Paul says that we are to do are easy. In fact, none of them come naturally, but all of them are possible because this is what spiritual formation looks like. This is what it looks like for God to begin to work in and through us. That these things actually begin to happen. This is the fruit of formation in our lives. This is what a life that is surrendered to the will of God, that is grounded in the Word of God, that is being practiced among the people of God, this is what it looks like. Of course, in order that this might even become more practical for us, let's talk about what it means for us to put these things into practice. So here's what we mean when we say we want to put these things into practice. We are committed to spiritual formation. That means we gather for worship and community, engage with Scripture and in prayer, and serve together so that God might make us more like Christ and by His Spirit use us to bless the world. This is demonstrated by our 1+1 rhythm, one place to grow, one place to serve. You heard me mention it earlier. Our practice of sharing stories of God at work and our provision of resources that promote spiritual formation. Now don't worry about having to take notes on this. This actually is on this handout along with details of all of our other core values. For now, simply understand and simply sit with me and think about what this means. That if we are going to be intentional about spiritual formation and not just let it happen, but intentional, here's what we want to call each other to do. Together for worship services like this. And in spiritual formation classes like those that we'll meet next Sunday for all ages. And in small groups that meet during the week. And in all sorts of affinity groups, whether it's youth group or Evergreen Senior Fellowship or coffee break, or whether it's informal ways that happen in the lobby after the service, or when we gather in homes for meals, or on Zoom meetings, or wherever those things happen. It means intentional engagement with Scripture and in prayer, both individually and collectively. I'm going to talk about some opportunities for that in just a moment. And it happens by committing to serve together, both inside the walls and outside of the walls of this church. And of course, this is where this 1+1 strategy, this rhythm, comes into focus. That we're actually encouraging each of you to think about where's at least one place. Maybe there are seven places in my life, but where's one place right now where I'm being poured into? And one place where I can think about being poured out. Recognizing that spiritual formation happens when both of these things are happening in our lives. Over the last few months, you've heard a few stories of spiritual formation, of things that God is beginning to do in our lives, things that we want to be paying attention to, and that we want to celebrate all the more. You've heard some stories about what God is doing through partnerships with Jubilee Reach. You've heard things that God is doing in the midst of hard seasons. In coming weeks, I think you're going to hear some stories about what God is doing through tutoring at KidReach, and perhaps some stories of evangelism on the other side of the world. We want to keep telling stories of what God is doing so we might pay attention to God's work all the more. And of course, we want to resource you with things so that you and so that we might be intentional about spiritual formation. That includes engaging with Scripture. There's a Bible reading plan that's online. There are an abundance of resources in our church library. There are prayer requests that go out weekly in the email. There are also cards in your back of your seats that invite you to share prayer requests. There's also a group that's meeting after worship today to begin talking about forming a prayer team. People that might be committed to helping us foster a spirit of prayer. I'll have details for that for you at the end of the service. But there are ways to get engaged in prayer and in Scripture, both individually and collectively. There are abundance of resources which we want to point you to. And if you can't find the right resource in the lobby or at the Welcome Center or online, there's also a comment card and a feedback card. And you can, in the back of your seats, you can let us know specifically what you need to help. There are also teams that are working on these resources. I don't know if you're aware of this. There is a Welcome and Enfolding team that is actively helping us think about hospitality and enfolding connection as a body. They've already put a lot of things into practice, including those cards. There are abundance of resources that may continue to roll out. There's a hub team that is thinking about outreach, and I hope increasingly will be inviting us into opportunities to serve together both inside and outside the walls of this church. There's also a spiritual formation team which, yes, is teaching classes, but we would love to be an ally in helping you with resources. And that can range from everything from helping you discover what your spiritual gifts are to helping learn a new spiritual practice or helping you think about potentially starting a new small group. We want to be intentional about all these things. And the good news is we're off to a great start. I mean, I'm really encouraged to think about all the ways that we have embraced this idea of spiritual formation in this season. But of course, I want to remind you that we have to embrace this in season after season. Again, spiritual formation is an ongoing effort. It is a team sport that plays out in season after season, that we keep committing ourselves to these things. And maybe the best way to help you think about this is to come back to the idea of physical formation one more time. It's to invite you to collectively join me at the gym. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but gyms do not exist solely for your health. Did you know this? Gyms are businesses, which means they exist for their bottom line at the end of the day. Well, the thing about gyms is different gyms have different strategies for getting your business. Take Planet Fitness, for example. Planet Fitness, home of the judgment-free zone. Did you know this, that Planet Fitness does not want bodybuilders and gym rats and what they call lunks in their gym? Do you know that? Do you know why they don't want those folks in the gym? Because those people use the gym all the time. And Planet Fitness is actually not designed to accommodate all those people who like to go to the gym all the time. Planet Fitness is actually designed to attract people who are eager to sign up for the gym, but maybe not so dedicated to keep going to the gym. And so Planet Fitness does a number of things. First of all, they design their facilities to look a little bit more like a club than some sort of gym you would see in a Rocky movie. Slimming mirrors, fun music, and massage chairs are at the front of the gym. And it's only in the actual gym part that's, you know, like the free weights and that stuff is actually kind of in the back. And depending on which Planet Fitness you go to, is sometimes tucked away way in the back where people who are slightly out of shape might feel slightly intimidated to go. Planet Fitness also attracts a certain kind of clientele by the way they structure their pricing and their contracts. A long-term contract keeps you locked into the idea of going to the gym. But a low monthly fee keeps you from feeling too guilty about skipping out. You see, Planet Fitness knows that we want to tell ourselves, well, I'm paying for the gym, so I should go to the gym today. But what we really tell ourselves is, it's only 10 bucks. I'll go to the gym tomorrow. Maybe. And to keep us thinking about going to the gym tomorrow, Planet Fitness dangles the carrot. And by carrot, I mean pizza. Once a year, Planet Fitness provides once a month, Planet Fitness provides free pizza for its members. They also, once a month, provide free bagels, which seems ludicrous when you're thinking about a gym until you realize just how genius it is. Low-cost gyms like Planet Fitness lose half of their membership each year. Well, how do you convince people who are probably not going to go to gym next year to sign up for another year? You offer them something so they feel like they're at least getting something out of their membership. For $10 a month, you get two slices of pizza. Now, compare that with Pro Club. Now, I have never been in a Pro Club because I would have to be in a different tax bracket to become a member at Pro Club. But I hear that place is amazing. Anybody go to Pro Club? Or maybe you don't want to know what that is. Okay, some of you are connected with Microsoft and you get in there. I get it. Pro Club is more than a gym. It is a resort-style destination dedicated to your whole health with the region's most expansive offerings of fitness, luxury, and family fun. That's what their website says. Pro Club is clearly after a different clientele. Well, these different gyms with different amenities and maybe some different clientele have the same goal in mind. You know what it is? Their bottom line. Okay, remember, they don't exist solely for our health. And yet they do provide helpful resources for our health. In fact, people get in shape in both of these gyms. There are people who take advantage of the $10 a month and skip out on the pizza, or maybe take the pizza and also, you know, take Planet Fitness for all it's worth. There are also people who enjoy all of the resources that Pro Club have to offer. The difference isn't so much in the amenities, it's in the commitment to pursuing physical formation. By the way, there are a whole bunch of people who don't go to a gym at all and who are committed to their own health. People who walk actively or, you know, participate in online classes. People who do things on their own. The point is, it's not a gym. It's not the amenities. It's not necessarily the what that makes it happen. It is the commitment, the intentionality that leads to transformation. The Apostle Paul says this: train yourself for godliness, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. In other words, be intentional about your spiritual formation just in the same way that you're intentional about your physical formation. And recognize that there doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all. Some of you may be Planet Fitness spiritual formed people. Some of you may be pro club spiritually formed people. Some of you may be I'm doing it on my own at home kind of person. The key thing is it's the people who actually show up, who do the work, who actually experience transformation. Of course, here's where the illustration breaks down just a bit. The difference between physical formation and spiritual formation is physical formation is all up to you. Spiritual formation is actually God's work at the end of the day. It's not ours. God is the one who renews our minds. God is the one who transforms our wills. God is the one who actually shapes us for His purposes. It's just our job to keep showing up, to keep offering ourselves as living sacrifices, to keep putting ourselves in a position to be shaped and used by God. Again, I'm excited about the fact that this is something that we have embraced as a church, and I can only imagine what God is going to do in the season to come. And so what I want to say to you today is, Kelsey Creek Church, keep up the good work. And as we offer ourselves up together, let's let God do His amazing work among us for the sake of the world that He loves, for the sake of the world that He sent Jesus into, for the sake of the world whom Jesus is actively at work in now through His church, even us. Would you pray with me?